Hey, grandkids, welcome to another fine edition of the Stunt Granny Audio. I seem to be on the hosting duties this week, but with me, as he was last week, Mr. Eric Nelson. How you doing, Eric?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic. I also took a sip of my, let's see, you took a sip of your beer before we went on. I took a sip of my delicious Sobe Life Water. zero calories, because for some reason nowhere around here carries vitamin water 10 anymore, dickhead.
Oh, that's kind of weird.
I know. Like, everywhere they used to carry it, just let their stock run out, and now they're just carrying regular vitamin water with lots of calories, and yet I can't seem to find any place that's carrying the new vitamin water zero. So I'm like, well, you just lost yourself a customer. I'm going to start drinking Sobe Life Water. However, we do have something in common. You just mentioned off the air that you have Girl Scout cookies.
Yes, I do. Yummy.
What kind did you order this time?
You know, I would have ordered more if I would have realized that the thank you very much were going to be as good as they were.
Oh, yeah.
It's a new kind just from this year, and it's outstanding. I mean, if you don't like cranberries, it's probably not for you.
Uh-huh.
It has cranberries and a couple other things in it,
cool.
A couple other berries in it. I think there might be blueberry and something else, but I think cranberry seems to be the more predominant taste because it's a bigger taste, really.
Yeah.
So I like them. So I can see if somebody might not like them if they're not a big cranberry fan.
Well, that's going to be rough for people because cranberry has snuck its way into everything. You can't get away from cranberry. Cranapple? Cran for a fucking steak?
Yeah.
The cranberry is everywhere.
I'm certainly guilty of liking the cranberry because I get all those mixes all the time. Cranberry pomegranate's my favorite.
Ah, good call. Actually, where's mine at? Sorry, I moved as soon as I set it down. I'm drinking Sobe Life Water, Yum Berry, as in Y-U-M, Yum Berry Pomegranate. Let's see what the berry is according to this. Filtered water, natural flavor, xanthan gum. I am apparently just drinking juices made out of gums and other manufactured shit. Well, it's Yum Berry anyway. I can't say I've ever seen a Yum Berry or picked my own Yum Berry before, but
yeah,
that's what I'm drinking. But
that is a yam bag, but that's a whole
yam
different
bag. Yeah. What are you, Taz, over here? No, Joey Numbers. No, I actually, every year I order my Girl Scout cookies. I get one box of lemonades because I am a sucker for lemon-flavored things, especially when it's sweet lemon-flavored things.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Yeah, no, I got the thank you very much. I got Do-si-dos, tag-alongs, and what's the other one? Those are the two peanut butter ones. Oh, the Dulce de Leche, which just came out last year, too. I'm a big caramel fan.
Yeah, well, you are just Uncle Kevin over here, aren't you? Where are all these Girl Scouts coming from that you're ordering this bounty of boxes of cookies?
It's just one. The woman in her office that the only one that has a child.
yeah. The rest of them are all just barren.
Yeah. Yep. Two of them are single and possibly gay, but I'm not completely sure.
Okay, possible homosexual. All right.
Well, it seems like they're supposed to be interested in women, but I'm always unsure of, considering I haven't seen either of them with a woman in the 10 years that I've been there, it kind of concerns me.
Okay, sure.
Anywho, what the fuck?
So the one lady that has
cranberry, that's where I order all my cookies through her.
Sure, she's your provider, she's your pusher.
Yeah, well, and even funnier than that actually is when I went to the gym on Saturday, there was a sign propped up on a bunch of empty boxes, and it said Girl Scouts and pointed in the direction of the it's a grocery store called the Fresh Market.
Yeah.
And it's just right down the plaza from where my gym is. So the Girl Scouts conveniently put a sign in front of the gym door to say, hey, cookies here. So, you know, hey, go to the gym and then put all the calories back on.
Oh, dude, seriously, yeah, it's like
Girl
work it
Scout
all off
cookies.
First. I think my lemonades, like, I have the boxes downstairs, but I can't remember if the serving size is one cookie or two cookies. I think it's two. I
three.
Hope it's two.
It's
what is it?
Three.
It's three
it's
for
three.
Yours. I think it's two for my lemonade.
Yeah, no. It's do you mean lemonades or the lemon chalet?
I think it's. Let me look it up. I'm pretty sure they're called lemonades, which I thought was weird too. But
okay. We had some the lemon chalets that we have at work. Because the one guy in our office always buys some, but then he just leaves them out for everybody to eat. I mean, he partakes, but he just leaves them in the office, and he got some that are called Lemon Chalet.
Oh, the rectangular cinnamon ginger lemon-filled cookies?
They're not rectangular. They're circular.
Oh, okay. Well, my lemonades are shortbread cookies. They're circular shortbread cookies with a tangy lemon icing. And I'm pretty sure the serving is two cookies, but I guarantee you that the saturated fat content in one serving is 20% of your daily allowance. So I eat them one cookie every day. I cannot convince myself to eat more than one of those fucking fattening lard Girl Scout cookies in one day, or else I'd be at the gym cranking it out. I mean, I have 20 more minutes on the elliptical to work off these bitches' cookies.
Yeah. I have other means of working off the the cookies. But I digress, and we really should talk about some wrestling.
Oh, yeah, that happened. That's right. There was wrestling on TV recently, wasn't there?
Yeah, and both of us are in a consensus here that TNA sucks so much we just did not watch it at all.
I didn't remember it was on. I'm not even lying. Until pretty much 8 o'clock, when somebody sent, and that's Central Time, when somebody sent me a message over Gmail that was like, "Ooh, Hogan's on TV right now." I'm like, "Oh, that's right. Today's the big night." And I'm like, "Fuck it. I'm not even gonna try." And I'm still with no cable, which means no TiVo or DVR or anything, which means no even option to record it. So yeah, I just went with Raw out of habit and because I knew it'd be the better show.
Yeah, well, and I was thinking I might do a little bit of flipping that first hour, but then Taker and Michaels come on. It's just like, fuck, seriously, you think I'm going to flip during this? You can fuck right off.
Exactly.
Like, even though Taker kind of stumbled a little bit when he was out there by himself.
Yeah.
I was still far more interested in what he had to say than whatever the first 5 minutes of TNA promised.
Oh, yeah. It's like, what hyperbole can Hulk Hogan come up with, you know, to describe his career and everything he's going to do to turn around TNA, brother? And then, I'm sorry, like, I saw what the match was. I saw that Flair was going to wrestle. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not sold. I've seen Flair wrestle recent, like, you know, his last match in WWE and that couple of month run before that. That alone convinced me to stick with Monday Night Raw. I'm like, I'd rather listen to Shawn Michaels talk than watch Ric Flair and Hulk Hogan wrestle.
Yeah, and that just sounded horrendous. I'm like, oh my God, this is what happened in the first 5 minutes? Are you fucking kidding me? Gay-ass match. I was like, wow, seriously, that's what you countered with? Flair, it was 2 years ago there in Orlando, wasn't it?
Yep. Yes, it was.
So he cannot be in any better shape than he was then. And I mean, even that match, it had its limitations, you know? He's just old.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not like he's going to be moving around any easier.
Yeah, it just, you know, there's only so much you can do. God bless him. He's great, all that good crap. But seriously, dude, like, you barely pulled out that match at WrestleMania, and part of it was probably because Shawn Michaels is that fucking awesome right now.
Well, which brings us back to Monday night when Shawn Michaels is in the ring talking and promoting his well done, well-crafted, you know, storyline leading up to the match with Undertaker at WrestleMania. And what do we get on the other channel? They're trying to shove Abyss down our throats. You know, they're trying to, like, package up a whole deal where Hogan's wrestling, who cares? Flair's wrestling, he's old. AJ Styles is wrestling. I only care if he does the flying forearm that was immortalized on his T-shirt. And Abyss, I don't buy it. I never will buy it. Hulk Hogan could give him the fucking seal of approval. I will never buy Abyss as any sort of important wrestler or main eventer or anything. So it's like, please give me the well-done Undertaker Michaels thing, even if it's just a promo.
Abyss, and I just have to talk bash TNA while we do talk about it. Abyss in that super-powered ring and everybody looking at it last week and then him always holding it up in the air, it does not make him look any better. It looks him look like an even bigger retard. Fucktard.
Yeah. Yeah, he is the Dave Sullivan. I don't know if it may have been said by now, I'm sure. It's an easy parallel to draw, but he is the Dave Sullivan or Evad Sullivan of TNA right now, the Hulk Hogan lackey. I'm surprised he's not dressed in a red bathrobe with a yellow Hulkster T-shirt on, wearing bunny slippers, and coming out to the song, I Want to Be a Hulkamaniac. Because seriously, once a retard, always a retard. You're never going to sell me on Abyss being anything more than a clown who takes big bumps and sets himself on fire. I don't even know what Hogan sees in him. I literally don't understand what Hogan, as a businessman, sees in Abyss. How do you look at that dipshit and see anything besides a pink slip in the future?
I don't know. I've asked Jeremy that same question the last 2 or 3 weeks. It's just like, seriously, like, I just, like, if there was something in him, I think they could bring it up, like, I think douching it up with AJ Styles is not the right way to go. Like, he does not look comfortable in it.
No.
Like, I guess I can understand getting behind him at least. You know what I mean? Even to, you know, keep the analogy within TNA. Like, I'm like, okay, fine, whatever. You want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But Abyss, it's just like, dude doesn't work out. He doesn't look special at all. I don't even think a haircut would help out in the looks department. You know, like, I can't think of it. And taking the mask off, I mean, it didn't hurt Kane, and it didn't really do him any favors either, though.
Yeah, it was a lateral move for Kane.
Yeah, and
for,
I mean,
it was time, I guess.
If Abyss got to Kane's level, maybe.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, that's almost sad to say.
Well, and then, okay, let's discuss what Kane level is. Kane, in the WWF, was, his first opponent was Undertaker, basically. Like, his first feud was his brother, The Undertaker. His second feud was Steve Austin. He was a really fucking good wrestler, and everybody from Vince McMahon to Jim Cornette to Percy Pringle and Undertaker and everyone in between recognized that he was a good wrestler. He got to beat Steve Austin for the world title on a major pay-per-view at one point. The idea that even Kane, that who I can't stand at this point, I cannot, there Abyss could never be Kane. If he's in TNA the rest of his fucking career, he, based on that alone, he will never be Kane. Because
he's
stuck in that fucking rat trap fucking flea market called TNA.
Well, and it's not just that. You know, the other thing I forgot that I mentioned to Jeremy is the fact that they call him the monster.
Yeah.
But he's not particularly large.
Right.
You know, like, he's not, because he doesn't have, like, a physique that you're like, you know, like, you know, Ezekiel Jackson.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, okay, if they called him a monster, you're like, okay, that's fine. That guy is goddamn monstrous.
Right. Or Kane, who's 7 feet tall and 300 pounds, the big red monster.
Yeah, and you're like, okay, that makes sense. With Abyss, you look at him, you're like, monster, are you kidding? Like, he's barely taller than, and not that Hogan is short or anything, but he's barely taller than Hogan. He's shorter than Matt Morgan, who used to be one of his tag team partners.
Right.
It's just like, huh? Like, he doesn't, I'm sorry, he doesn't, nothing screams monster about this guy.
No.
Especially his physical stature, which is an important part of that equation.
Yep. He's a freak, but he's certainly no monster.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good to me.
That's the nicest thing I'll say about him. He's a freak. And he and AJ Styles came from NWA Wildside. There. That's another non-plus statement to make.
Oh, man. So, anywho, I guess we could get back to us. I think we've shit on them for about as much as we can for right now.
Yeah.
I'm sure we can revisit him with some other parallel later.
All right.
But, Taker Michaels, do we have anything more to say about that, really? I mean, we both said that it was really good. Is there something that, you know, needs to be added to that?
Well, they added something to it on Monday night when they added the no disqualification, no countout stipulation to their match at WrestleMania. I don't know. It didn't need it. Like, okay, last year, when Undertaker dove over the top rope and landed on his fucking head, and he and the two of them were at ringside for like a full minute before Michaels even attempted to roll in the ring, there was no count out then. I know that when Michaels rolled into the ring, though, he insisted that the referee start the count. So, yes, there was a count out there. But, you know, the two guys were outside the ring for a good minute, and no one did anything. So it's like there's the no count-out stipulation that you could work around. Neither one of these guys is really a no-disqualification type of wrestler, and I think the match would be better served, you know, it doesn't need that stipulation hovering over. That's what I think, anyway.
Well, I think it opens up a couple of different avenues. Like, I don't think that they're going to overuse the no DQ.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they always talk about Shawn Michaels in the ladder match. Who isn't going to pop when he pulls out the ladder?
I know that. Yep.
I know that there's going to be a Money in the Bank later, but honestly, there's no other brawls that are set up. All of them are supposed to be regular match. Well, yeah, I don't know. The Bret Hart-McMahon match hasn't been announced as anything special to this point, correct?
Right. It has not.
So, you know, there's no other match with a stipulation like that. So Money in the Bank has been the opener the last, what, 2-3 years, something like that?
Yeah.
So, you know, by the time they come on, Money in the Bank is going to be, you know, not forgotten, but, you know, certainly in the rearview mirror.
We will have already been on an emotional roller coaster well beyond that point. Well, look at WrestleMania 22 in Chicago, and I thought the same thing you just said earlier today, too. Money in the Bank was the second match on the show at WrestleMania 22, and by nearly the end of the card when Michaels wrestled Vince McMahon, yeah, when he pulled that 20-foot ladder or 18 or 16 or whatever foot ladder out from underneath the ring, yeah, the crowd went nuts. So, yeah, and that really, like I thought about it, with a no DQ stipulation, that's probably the only weapon that Shawn Michaels could get away with using and still come out of the whole thing as a babyface. So that's good. You know, maybe he grabs a chair and he gets ready to swing it and then he thinks better of it because he's a babyface and then sets it down, you know. Teases like that. I could see some cool stuff like that happening.
Yeah, like I said, I don't think they're going to overuse it. So, you know, go ahead, just make it official. Then if you do feel like doing some, you know, little spots like that, you know, it makes it different from last year. Like, that's the other thing to me, is that they needed some way to change it, and yeah, maybe they didn't really have a count out last year.
Yeah.
Again, just kind of make it official so that if nothing else, you're making it sound, even if they don't use anything that whole match, they're making it sound different right now to at least freshen it up a little bit.
Yeah.
On top of the original stipulation of, you know, streak versus match or career.
Career, yeah. Yeah, I thought the same. I was wondering the same thing, too. Like, do you need to tack something on it to make it a selling point? I mean, at this point, the Undertaker-Michaels match basically is the main event of WrestleMania. They're doing more to push that match than they are pushing any other match. So, in a way, I don't think you need to tack anything onto it, especially with the streak versus career. But, I mean, you said it, that, and my take on this is, I think WWE feels like they need to look like they're putting forth the effort of freshening things up a little bit. So, if, like you said, they use the stipulations in a very limited way, then I'm totally okay with it. Because I know it's going to be a fucking great match again. That's just a foregone conclusion, I would like to think.
Yeah. I mean, it may not possibly be as good as last year's, but I have a hard time believing that they're not going to deliver a damn fine performance.
Oh, yeah.
So. Alrighty. Well, I mean, I think that really does exhaust that topic there, unless there's a little something else that you thought of in the meantime.
No, I can't think of anything else there.
Okie dokie. Well, speaking of title matches, I kind of like the combo maneuver that they pulled off all in one and kept it within like a regular segment's length with the Miz bragging about them being the last great tag team.
Yeah.
And then automatically turning around and saying that the team that they were fighting was makeshift.
Yeah. Yeah, no shit. Of all the fucking makeshift teams, Miz and Big Show were completely random.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that adds to the heeldom. Like, I think people recognize how hypocritical he's being.
Oh, yeah. Brilliant. If the two of them show up dressed up like Demolition, then, you know, then he'll have room to talk, right?
Oh, I would love to see what are you talking, Miz and Big Show in Demolition gear?
Yeah, exactly.
And that would be wrong on the Big Show's part and very amusing on the Miz's part.
Yeah, no kidding. Face paint on a faux hawk.
The 21st century Demolition.
Yeah, and Big Show just looks like somebody, I don't know, magnified Barry Darso anyway. With his bald head and his patchy facial hair.
Yeah, he hasn't really let the beard grow in here recently.
No, not so much.
It does really kind of look patchy until that thing really gets grown in.
Yeah, right. Well, and then, but speaking of real tag teams and makeshift teams, I love the fact that Miz brought up Lex Luger and the British Bulldog as a makeshift team from WrestleMania. And I can't remember, I was thinking about this earlier, I can't remember if he said that there's never been a less deserving team to get a title shot than those two. But if that's what he said, which I can't remember if he did, history will show that those two didn't actually get the tag team title shot at WrestleMania 11. They wrestled Jacob and Eli Blue, otherwise known as the Bruise Brothers. I'm rolling my eyes right now. And it was Owen Hart and Yokozuna, another makeshift tag team, who got the tag team title shot against the Smoking Guns at that WrestleMania. So, just to correct Miz a little bit. But then, to save face, he did bring up the Bushwhackers as possible opponents for WrestleMania 26.
Oh, man.
That was good.
Yeah, I got a kick out of that, and I still have not found my Kevin and Brian is Luke and Butch picture
yet.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, if next time, if I remember.
Throw myself under the bus again.
There you go. Next time I go back home, if I remember, I'll try to find my Polaroid of me with the Bushwhackers from like 7 or 8 years ago.
Oh, I wonder if I have the one of me and my buddy for Halloween. We did the New Age Outlaws.
Oh, God, that's cool.
I still have the pants that I sewed on some letters to say Road Dog on.
Nice. I figured you'd be the Road Dog. I have
yeah,
no idea how
I was
to
a little...
that conclusion, but...
Yeah, the other guy was the Sandy Blonde, so that kind of helped give him the Billy Gunn look to start with anyway. Then he didn't have to dye the hair.
Gotcha, okay. No, I got my picture taken with the Bushwhackers. They wrestled in the sleepy town of Eagle Grove, Iowa, in front of about 110 people. And they were doing Polaroids during intermission, so I get up to the front
gotcha.
Of the line, and I hear Butch go, $5, mate! And, like, that's fucking awesome. So I coughed up my Lincoln and got my picture taken.
Nice.
Those poor bastards.
Yeah, I know I definitely for sure have the pictures of me with D'Lo and Jeremy with D'Lo, but...
Yes.
Jeremy does not want his picture to surface.
Uh-oh. Oh, no. Do I dare ask why, or is this better left for off-air?
Yeah, let's just say maybe he had a couple too many Girl Scout cookies around that time.
Okay, gotcha. He's listening to this right now. He's like, you son of a bitch. Dummy.
Yeah, when he hears it tomorrow and starts talking to me about our show, I'll probably hear it on IM.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you will.
Okay, anywho, get back to the makeshift team. Do you at least like the statement that our buddies from SmackDown made after the Mrs. Little tirade bringing up all these old-time wrestlers that we were just done talking about?
I didn't like anything about it, quite frankly, because if we remember from a previous audio, I said, great, what the fuck are they going to do, team up John Morrison and R-Truth for a tag team title shot? And sure enough, that's what they did. So no, I don't like any of it, quite frankly. And I don't like the dumb names that Michael Cole came up with. Rock and Rap, Truth and Wisdom, fucking anything else that he had to say.
I kind of I did not mind the Wisdom and Truth line, actually.
Wisdom and Truth. Oh, my God. There's, like, no effort put into that whatsoever.
No, there obviously wasn't. I mean, they are a completely makeshift team, just so that all four of those persons can be. Yeah, and I forgot about that, too. Jeremy tells me, he's listening to the audio from last week, and he goes, dude, you guys called a match at WrestleMania. I'm like, huh? He reads the spoilers for SmackDown, and I don't.
Oh,
so
I don't
like,
either.
Huh?
Yeah.
I was like, huh? And he's like, oh. I was like, oh. I was like, well, I think I had to ask him what match. And he goes, oh. And he mentioned, I was like, oh.
That sucks.
Like, that's kind of funny.
Well, I'm trying to come up with better names for this tag team. And so far, I mean, Ebony and Ivory is obvious, but no, they're never going to do that. And I was thinking, like Twisty Cone or, like, Oreo Blizzard or something like that. I'm like, there's got to be a better name than anything.
You know what?
Mentioned.
Electric Boogaloo. They did the breakdance.
That's right. Yes. They both know how to boogie.
Yep, I think that's what they should go with.
All right.
Electric Boogaloo. Did they have three? Or they? I think they... No, they did... No, there was two at least.
There's definitely two, because that's the subtitle of two. I don't know if they ever did a three. But, yeah, I'm down with that. I like that. They should... What? Let's see. Electric Boogaloo. What if they... Yeah, I can play off that. Well, their finishing move could be breaking. Or like when Spanky started using sliced bread number two, because obviously it was the best thing since sliced bread, but sliced bread's the best thing, so it was sliced bread number two. Then when they come up with a better finishing move, then they can call it breaking two. I'm sold.
Outstanding.
No, I don't know, man. It's
internet
just like,
would just work.
It's just like I said, though, you know, Owen Hart and the British Bulldog versus Vader and Mankind, shit like that's going to go down in the annals of history as, oh, that happened? You know, I have a feeling that's what's going to happen with this match, too.
Yeah, no, and they're all kind of stuck at a weird stage, too. Like, Morrison, they've gotten behind him enough, but they obviously did not quite get behind him enough to really put him in any type of a main event or even singles match.
Right.
And really the same thing has gone for Truth. Ever since he lost to Drew McIntyre, that guy has been thrown to the top.
Yeah.
But really, it's still, you know, it still just wasn't enough time to really get him there.
No.
And the Big Show, that poor guy, well, I don't know if he's poor or not, honestly, because, well, he's still well-employed, and he's fat and happy again.
Right.
And, you know, he's still getting decent slots. Like, he's not being shit on, but, you know, when you fought all of the top guys already, it's just, you don't have anywhere to go. Like, he's kind of stuck. Like, he almost needs to wrestle these kind of younger, up-and-coming kind of guys.
Sure. Well, and that's, you know, possibly a reason why he wrestled Aki Bono in a sumo match 1 year, and why they put him against Floyd Money Mayweather in a different year. It's like, you've got a main event guy. You've got a headliner. You've got somebody that you can throw up on your poster and put on talk shows and who looks monstrous. Take a hint, Abyss. yeah, put him in some interesting situations. And right now, you know, for the last 6 months, it was him and Jericho as a team, and that was fun to watch. And now it's him and Miz as a team. That's fun to watch. You know, really, without any real tag teams and without anyone cares about, no one cares about Crime Time, no one could give two shits about the Hart Dynasty. And when you've got two guys that you've invested time in, like especially John Morrison, but now R-Truth, I mean, fucking R-Truth went like 14 or 15 months without ever being on pay-per-view. I think he was actually on the poster for a Royal Rumble and didn't even wrestle in the Royal Rumble 1 year. Or it's something along those lines, or else he was on the cover of the... Wait a minute. Let me look at this. I think he might have been on the cover of... Was it a WrestleMania DVD? Shit.
There's no break-in.
This one's all boxed up. Hold on a second.
Yeah, wow. Break-in and Break-in 2 came out both in 84.
Weird. Here... I'm looking at my WrestleMania 25 DVD. There's R-Truth on the cover of it. He wasn't even on the fucking card. So it's like he went so long without being on a WWE pay-per-view, and now they're finally starting to put some time into him. And it's just all slapdash and half-assed. And, you know, I don't know. It's not going to get anybody over. It's not going to do anybody.
It's all what's up.
Ugh, Jesus Christ.
What's up?
Yuck.
Okie dokie. Well, at least one tag team that never had any push behind it, but somehow got the tag team championships at some juncture. Legacy fought Mr. Randy Orton this week, too. Two-on-one. The two wins for a change. They are almost starting to make a habit out of this in the WWE. What should we think of this?
It's good that they finally come to the realization that two guys could probably beat one guy. My big problems with it are, though, one, it's just such a lazy booking stipulation. I don't know. I see uses for it sporadically, but I mean, if you seriously averaged over the last maybe like 4 years how often they've done a handicap stipulation, it probably comes out to every third week, and that's far, far too often. Not to mention this week, DiBiase was in the ring with Orton, and it took Rhodes' distraction, not even necessarily like the abilities of the two wrestlers that are wrestling the one, not their in-ring abilities. Orton had to be distracted by somebody on the outside of the ring to lose the match. So it's like tenuous at best, and I don't know. It's so lazy and it's so lame that, and I don't know, good for them, good for Legacy or good for Priceless or whatever you want to call them for getting a bone thrown at them every once in a while. I mean, they beat DX one time and they can pretty much hang their hat on that for the rest of their careers, even though they got smoked by DX every other time they wrestle them. And whatever happens at WrestleMania, Orton's going to beat them anyway. So whatever. I mean, they give an inch, but then they can't, you don't give them any option to take a mile. Too bad.
Yeah, well, and it's even weird that they just DiBiase had that fairly lengthy match that he was fairly had a good showing against Orton, He didn't look like he was some punk bitch. But then they're back to square one with what they did this past Monday. In that regards, like they just completely screwed any of the build-up that he had gotten.
Well, honestly, there's a lot of square oneing going on right now. Like, I don't know, to jump around a little bit, last week's Raw had a promo with Undertaker and Michaels in the ring. So did this week's. It's like, okay. Last week's Raw had a version of an Orton DiBiase match with Rhodes and doing his thing, whatever. This week, same thing, you know. This Monday Night Raw, not to jump all the way ahead to the thumbs up or down or whatever we want to do, this Raw was kind of lackluster on the road to WrestleMania, and I think that this Orton DiBiase Rhodes angle is just like evidence of that. They're like 1 week of treading water. I'm not saying it's going to stay bad, or it's going to get worse or anything, but this week's Raw was kind of blah. And that's part and parcel of the problem right there.
Yeah, it's kind of like they can't. Well, they're just establishing some of the matches as we kind of already noted with the tag team match.
Right.
And really, this match that we were just talking about is just kind of in its own. They said, "Oh, it's been boiling for months," but it was so on and off at points that, you didn't feel a consistent build until about the last month or so.
Yeah.
Well, it started at that last pay-per-view or like the week before that last pay-per-view, really. So, the storytelling isn't quite there. Taker and Michaels, they've set up for a long time ago. Vince Hart has been set up for a while. But the other stories, Triple H, Sheamus, that we haven't gotten to, Cena, Batista even, they're just building that one up. Like a lot of them, they've still got, some work to do.
Well, you said something kind of key when you said the storytelling. I don't know, man. I feel like some of the best stories are written with an ending already in mind. And they obviously don't know what they're doing yet with Orton. And I say obviously because I think it's obvious to me, or else they wouldn't be burning through all of their possible matchups. To me, I don't think they know what they're going to do. I don't know how they don't. I don't think they know how they're going to finish this feud. And so they're just kind of doing shit in the meantime. And it doesn't help when the characters aren't all that interesting either. Orton is, but I don't give a goddamn about Ted DiBiase or Cody Rhodes right now. God, bring in their dads or something. Bring on Orton's dad. I don't care. Bring some parents into the mix. Give us something that's a little more interesting than these three guys wrestling each other in some fashion every week until, oh, I know what we could do. Rah, rah, rah.
You don't think Skip Sheffield's going to be Orton's tag team partner at WrestleMania so it can be a two-on-two match?
There you go. What's he going to write on his vest? I'm Orton's partner. Like that, seriously, on the left side, on our left, yeah. It would say, I'm Orton's, and on our right side, it would say partner.
I was going to say Arch-Fed.
Nice.
But, hey, you know. Whatever.
Well,
the fact that they don't have him in a scheduled match right now, like, even if those other matches that I mentioned are just kind of fresh in the making, you know he's going to be in a match.
Yes.
So it's just like, yeah, like, you really kind of need to do it. It was 3 weeks from, 3 weeks from this past Sunday.
Uh-huh.
And basically 3 weeks from his past Raw, and they still don't have an official match. It's like, yeah, like, they won't have a whole lot of time when they finally freaking announce this.
Yeah. Well, and then to skip to the Triple H Sheamus angle and talk about that too, it's bad foresight on WWE's part, which they've shown for years and years and years, but constantly going back to the same guys, generally speaking, but specifically speaking, constantly going back to Triple H and Randy Orton. You know, for 2 years, there was some version of that. I mean, shit, WrestleMania 24, Triple Threat, Cena, Triple H, Orton. WrestleMania 25, main event, Triple H, Orton. They've wrestled each other 1,000 times otherwise. Had they not gone to that fallback plan so often, you could have had two legit main event guys wrestling each other in a match this year at WrestleMania, not for a belt, and had some sort of marquee matchup. But now what do you have? You have Orton, and we have no idea what he's doing, and you're forcing Triple H into this match with his friend Sheamus. And the only good thing that's going to come out of it is the promo that he cut on Monday night, like Triple H talking about getting squashed by the... He didn't mention the Warrior, obviously, by name. But, you know, It was nice to see him go back into his history and draw some parallels. Undefeated for a year, squashed at WrestleMania, had to climb his way back up. That was cool. But again, it's like, what's the outcome going to be? You're either going to have an improbable victory by Sheamus that no one's going to believe, no one's going to care about, or Triple H will have fallen all the way down the card, and who do you beat? Oh boy, the guy with the red beard that looks like his yellow beard. Whoop-de-fucking-do.
Yeah, I think it's going to be the latter, and they're probably going to do as much as they can to make Sheamus look good in the meantime, but, whatever, you know, they can try, like, and maybe it's finally to the point where they're getting Sheamus in the old push back down the card and give him a little more seasoning. Because yet again, he doesn't do a whole lot of talking.
Right.
And in WWE, that is not a good thing when your strong suit is not talking.
Right, especially when you're in a main event or a marquee matchup at WrestleMania. You know, pretty much every match at WrestleMania at this point is a marquee matchup. But how are you going to wrestle Triple H and not, like, I mean, they've got to put him in a position to talk. Because when you're wrestling Triple H, you better have something to talk about. I don't care if you like Triple H or don't like him or whatever. There's a guy who's been around for 15 years, and you've got plenty to sink your teeth into, you know. That guy's got to get a promo. I mean, my God. It'd be like, oh, I don't know. Never mind. I don't have an example. I don't have an analogy. I do have something that I did want to bring up, though, that I talked to Jeremy about over IM. I asked him the other day if he could help me think of any wrestler, multi-time world champion, multi-time WrestleMania main eventer, that fell so far down the card the way Triple H did this year. Best I could come up with was Stone Cold Steve Austin wrestling Scott Hall. at WrestleMania 18?
Yeah, but at least Scott Hall was a bigger name than
Sheamus.
Sheamus, I mean,
hey.
Wow.
They both
hey,
the
yo. Yeah.
Maybe Macho Man versus Crush at WrestleMania 10. I just thought of that one.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be something like that, but yeah.
Or like Undertaker versus Mark Henry in a casket match. As if
yeah. Yeah, you could put that one in there.
Yeah.
But still,
no,
Mark Henry's time, so. But, yeah, no, it's pretty rough. Like, I even think I was saying this to you last week. Like, at some point, I don't know, maybe it's because I don't read the message boards or anything like that. Now, people just cannot really be able to pick on Triple H anymore.
Oh, yeah, we
or at least
talk about that last week. Yep.
Yeah, or at least we need to have a reprieve at some point. Like, you know, if he wins, it's eh. If he loses, it's kind of eh.
Yeah, right, yeah. Yeah, he's at a point where he can put guys over, and he has. You know, he has. Just because one of the first guys that he put over in his long run of putting people over killed his wife and kid and then hung himself, you know, don't blame Triple H.
Yeah, it's really not his fault.
Don't forget, Triple H has been a lot more generous in the last 6 years than we're used to. He still as a member of DX, managed to squash an entire roster in 1 week. But, you know, whatever. We can look past that, too.
Yeah. So, yeah. But, yeah, he definitely dropped down the roster a good chunk.
Yep.
For this one.
Poor guy.
Yep. And, you know, one guy that doesn't seem to be getting anywhere on the roster but is finally involved in a match and I'm extremely excited about?
Yes, I bet I know.
That'd be one Evan Bourne being involved in the Money in the Bank ladder match.
Yes, it's overdue, but it finally made it happen, and I'm excited.
Yeah, I was like, because I watched it while I was talking to that woman that I'm still talking to.
Yeah.
So I didn't have the sound on, and it didn't. And I think maybe I didn't pay attention right away. I'm like, oh, my Lord. Like, and I didn't see it until after he won the match. He pointed up the briefcase. I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah.
I was like, he's in the Money in the Bank ladder match. That is going to be awesome.
Yeah, oh, for sure. And I thought, you know, I thought he would win. But a little bit of me also thought, you know, they've put Finley in the ladder match before. You know, like, well, maybe they'll have some, like, hard-hitting veteran presence. Nah, they'll have Evan Bourne. Like, they, you know, the WWE sees that guy and they're like, bam, Money in the Bank, done. Gotta be in it.
Yep, I mean, he's not gonna win it. And I think we're still at basically two possible winners.
Definitely Christian.
Yeah. I think this year it's far more certain than just about any other year.
Who's the other guy you have in mind then?
MVP is the only other guy that has a remote chance.
Good call.
But, yeah, I mean, they obviously, like, Bourne, like, was it this week or last week when he busted out the new shirt?
I know that
he was wearing it this week for sure. I can't remember if I saw it last week or not, but I'm like, okay, like, this is his second shirt already.
Yes.
They know he's moving merch, so that means at some point they've got to deal with him. Like, I'm like, okay, you know what? Maybe the crowd response with him is finally being heard. Like, it has finally sunk in after, like, What, did he come along right before WrestleMania last year or right after it?
Oh, if I had to guess, I would say it was after, but I don't remember how, like, immediately after. Was he a draft pick, maybe?
See, I was thinking it was right before because it was like, wow, this is really awkward.
That could be.
Because then he didn't. I didn't think he had anything to do except for like come out for like the Chain Gun Mafia for John Cena or something.
All right, or get beat up by Mike Knox on occasion.
Well, I just meant at WrestleMania itself. Like he didn't really.
Oh, yeah.
You know, one of those guys that they're like, okay, you know, we're just really, really trying to pay you.
Yeah, no doubt.
a little bit extra. We want you to get some slice of the pie here.
Right. Yeah,
shit.
Good for Matt Sydal, man. Good for my boy that I saw wrestle in Pleasantville, Iowa, in front of a couple hundred people versus Delirious. Fucking badass match. There's something about him, and I don't know what it is other than, I mean, he's not even a high spot guy. I mean, he's small, so he's sympathetic. He's exciting to watch. His moves are exciting. But, I mean, he can tell a good story, too, and he can really put together a good match. I've told the story 1,000 times, but when those two wrestled in the small, small town of Pleasantville, Iowa, in front of a high school gym full of wrestling fans who know Hulk Hogan, and that's probably about the extent of it. You know, for the first 10 minutes watching Matt Sydal versus Delirious, and you know how those two are.
Yeah.
The crowd had no idea at all what to make of it, and they laughed at some of the chain wrestling, and they giggled, and they murmured, and they didn't pay attention. And I swear to God, the last 10 minutes of the match, the crowd was in the palms of their hands. They were eating this shit up. They bought everything. They popped just at all the right times. And when Evan Bourne, I think he actually used a 450. Sydal, whatever. I'm pretty sure he used a 450 to end the match. I mean, the few hundred people in that gym just exploded. And they went ape shit, and they were on their feet. And it's like, damn, this guy's got it, you know? So, yeah, it's like It translates to the big show also. So like you said, it's good that WWE's finally taking notice and making some T-shirts for the guy.
Yeah, because this one does look like they took far more time out on it. Because I think the other one just said, like, Airborne on the front. Because I remember even looking at it. I don't know if I did a review. Oh, yeah, I think it was one of those reviews where I did, like, 3 shirts all at one time.
Okay,
I'm like,
yeah.
Okay, all of these suck. So I'm just going to get them out of the way all at once.
Yeah.
And there just wasn't too much time spent. Because on the back, they just had, like, it's kind of like a picture motion form of him doing the, the Airborne.
The Airborne, the Shooting Star Press, yeah.
Yeah, the Shooting Star Press. And it's like, wow, yeah, that's pretty fucking weak. You know, it went from a dark red to, like, you know, kind of like a whitish red. I'm like, wow, that's fucking lame. But,
right.
You know, a shirt's a shirt. You're getting merch. So, and like I said, like, evidently that sold well enough. They're like, oh, well, maybe we should come up with a second shirt for this guy, even though they haven't really done anything for him until inclusion in this match. They really have not done a whole lot for the guy.
Right, it's true.
So I think that is just another, that, yeah, that's just another reason to be excited about that. Like, they know that he's on everybody's radar.
Yep, he's a commodity for sure.
Well, the only thing that we have not touched on really is the ending segment there, which was about as predictable as one would imagine.
And dull and tired.
Yeah.
Like, heroic babyface, old man who can't wrestle but has a lot of money and influence, so a whole bunch of big meatheads run down and try to beat up said babyface to please the boss. Oh, boy. Like, how many times can you write that same story over and over again?
Yeah. And I think that's part of the problem. Like, I just posted up my review today for Pro Wrestling Ohio.
Yep.
The show that I just watched kind of did the exact opposite thing, where I thought most of the shit segments were at the beginning, and then they ended really strong, and I'm just like, huh. Like, when you look back on it, you're like, oh, I thought that was a lot better than it really was. Like, I kind of added up my little score that I usually keep track of. I'm like, wow, that's a pretty shitty score. And I'm just like, yeah. And this show, it was kind of the exact opposite. You got to the end, and you're like, oh, okay, yep. Like, if you didn't see this coming, you haven't been watching wrestling for more than a year.
Seriously. Yeah, it's nothing McMahon's never done before, and it's just tired. And then, of course, Batista comes out. But, all right, whatever. Once again, like, to me, Raw just treading water this week. Not that impressive. Still better than TNA. even though TNA, like, I don't know, man, they just tried to sucker people in, like, hey, it's RVD. Hey, it's Jeff Hardy. Hey, it's Sean Waltman. You know, whatever. It's like, hey, stick around a couple weeks. You'll see how shitty it really is. Oh, wait, you barely tuned in anyway because TNA pulled in a 1.0? Then everybody go fuck yourself.
Yeah, but they're gonna gain steadily because
Because Stone Cold Dixie Carter said so.
I'm not sure because oh shit, what did oh yeah, we owe Dixie Carter an explanation.
No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. You just ask him. He doesn't owe anyone an explanation.
And that, I can't believe that lame-o is going to be a heel. Like,
Yeah.
yeah, I do not give a shit about their program enough to watch it.
No, I really don't either. I don't care. And that's bad. That should be our job to care at this point. I mean, Jesus. It's our side hobby to care, and we don't care.
Well, maybe when 24 is finished, I'll start watching it, but until that point,
Right.
they can go and fuck right off. I mean, I might try to flip, but still, I just doing it right before WrestleMania was bad. Even as and that's it. I guess that's the other sad thing. Sad thing is that we're both saying that Raw wasn't that great for the as an overall whole, and it still just was not worth even. Flipping, well, in your case you couldn't, but I could have flipped over to DNA, and I just didn't want to.
No, it's not even worth entertaining the thought. And for some like me, it wasn't even worth remembering they were on in the first place. Oh, goodness.
Yeah,
Well, we've been going for
well.
an hour. I think that pretty much sums everything up.
Yeah, I think we did a pretty solid number on Raw there and TNA all at one time.
Yeah, whether we meant to or not.
Yeah, well, we kind of did.
It comes with the territory, my friends.
Yep. Come
Cool,
on, come
man.
to Stunt Granny. If nothing else, even if we don't watch it, we will bash it after reading about
Fucking right, we will. Absolutely.
it.
I'll try to make it a point to watch it as often as I can, but I have no idea how. If I can get two feeds going at once, maybe. There you go. That's what I'll do. I'll just mute one window and watch the other one. Maybe I'll start doing
No.
that. Don't hold me to it, but I might start doing that.
Yeah, that could work out. Whenever my roommate moves out, I'll have two TVs with DVRs, but I doubt that that's going to happen anytime soon. So it's well, actually, I might have to start talking to the cable company to bilk some more money out of
Oh, yeah.
them.
Good times, good times.
Yep.
Well, what do you think?
Okie dokie. Do I got out duties or do you have out duties?
I'll go ahead and take out duties first. That way you can talk about drinking burr. In the meantime, I'm gonna finish putting away my laundry and cry about the fact that Abyss is a main event wrestler. So everybody have a good night.
Superpowered rings, for RVD being crushed in his debut, and for poor Desmond Wolfe and the Pope, who didn't even get to fucking wrestle their match on TNA because they were paying too much goddamn attention to Raw. I'm gonna go drink a Yingling and have a good night.